नारायणा नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वती व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरयत् नश्च प्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भगवति सेवाय भागवत उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैश्चिकी ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्णा गुड मॉर्निंग टू एवरीवन ऑन द कॉल दिस मॉर्निंग द टेक्स्ट इज फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 11 टेक्स्ट 10 गंधाकृतिस्पर्शरसशवंसि विसर्गरात्याभिजल्पशिल्पा एकादशं स्वीकरणं ममेति सयं अहं द्वादशं एक आहु वर्ड फॉर वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन गंधा स्मेल Akriti, form. Sparsha, touch. Rasa, taste. Shravamsi, and sound. Visharga, evacuating. Rati, sexual intercourse. Arti, movement. Abhijalpa, speaking. Shilpaha, grasping or releasing. Ekadasham, 11th. Svikaranam, accepting as. Mama, mine. Iti, thus. Shayam, this body. Aham, I. Dwadasham, 12th. Eke, some. Ahu, have said. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Sound, touch, form, taste, and smell are the objects of the five knowledge-acquiring senses. Speech, touch, movement, evacuation, and sexual intercourse are the objects of the working senses. Besides this, there is another conception by which one thinks, this is my body, this is my society, this is my family, this is my nation, and so forth. This 11th function of the mind is called the false ego. According to some philosophers, this is the 12th function, and its field of activity is the body. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. There are different objects for the 11 items. Through the nose, we can smell. By the eyes, we can see. By the ears, we can hear. And in this way, we gather knowledge. Similarly, there are the kamendriyas, the working senses, the hands, legs, genitals, rectum, mouth, and so forth. When the false ego expands, it makes one think, this is my body, family, society, country, etc. Om Aginati Mirandasya Jnana Jnana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Sha Sri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate Kopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Panamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindhibhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Om Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Siva Sadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pasatya Deshatarine Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gurachase Namaha Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Imabhya Divacha Vishundaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Ras Padaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So here's the English translation of the text again. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 11, Text 10. Sound, touch, form, taste, and smell are the objects of the five knowledge-acquiring senses. Speech, touch, movement, evacuation, and sexual intercourse are the objects of the working senses. Besides this, there is another conception by which one thinks, this is my body, this is my society, this is my family, this is my nation, and so forth. This 11th function of the mind is called a false ego. According to some philosophers, this is the 12th function, and its field of activity is the body. Hare Krishna. So, this is Jatparat explaining the different types of senses to Maharaj Jahugan, obviously for our benefit too, because this is recorded in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Jatparat is saying that the five knowledge-acquiring senses are sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. And also, the objects of the working senses are speech, touch, movement, evacuation, and sexual intercourse. The working senses themselves are the limbs and, the hands, legs, and also the areas where we eliminate and also involve in sexual intercourse, like that. So, apart from this, there's another conception, which is, or another conception, as he's saying, by which one thinks that he's a body, he or she's a body. This is my body, this is my society, this is my family, this is my nation, and so forth. In other words, this person is thinking materially. Because we have already been told that we are not this body. So that function is called false, because a person is not their body. So if someone says they are their body, they are thinking exactly the opposite. So the soul is their body. That is the truth. The soul is the person. That is the truth. And so the untruth or falsity is saying, "This I'm not the soul, I'm the body." And a lot of people do think that way. And in fact, a lot of problems that happen in the world today is based on that. This is my body. This is my society. This is my family. This is my nation. Very interesting. The very things that people think of and get attached to, and therefore, if somebody else crosses it by any means or even by mistake, trouble happens. This is what's been listed here by Jatparat. This is my body. All right, let's look at it. This is my body. There are different colors of bodies in this world. And the human being has made it a point to come up with distinctions and ideas, some of it okay and some of it harmful, based on the body. Sometimes good culture can result from somebody's body, somebody's nation, you know, and what they do. We say good culture means culture in the mode of goodness. We're talking about material things now. Kindness is there, you know, charitable, you know, quality, tolerance, you know, not getting angry, not criticizing. That's all good. That's all good. There isn't a certain culture. But the spiritual is above all of that. So when we say, this is my body, already that kind of thought leads to problems. It is a false, a flawed thought. And when somebody begins to make a distinction that you're not my equal in certain ways because of my body being different from yours, there's the beginning of trouble. That is the beginning of trouble. Now, the funny thing is, actually, we're all in the cosmic jail. This is the cosmic jail. Jail based on the creation. And that's why we say cosmic. Now, there is the spiritual world. You see, the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, who's your Prabhupada's spiritual master. If you don't know much about what he says, usually he likes to use what we would regard as big words, a lot of big words in English. He's a scholar. So the fact is, there is the spiritual world, and then there's the material world. Now, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj refers to the material world as the uniquadrantal and the spiritual world as the triquadrantal. And I've already warned you, he uses big words. I had to look this up to find out what they meant. Quadrant. Well, quadrant tells you something about quad means four. Quadrant, usually in math, you know, is a circle. You divide the circle into four parts, you go right the middle and the other middle, and the two lines from one section to another through the middle, which is called a diameter, like that. You do one and make like a cross in the middle of a circle. Then you get four parts, which are called quadrants. Now, uni means one, uniquadrantal. So one of the four quadrants. And triquadrantal means three of the four quadrants. What he's really describing is the spiritual world and the material world. The spiritual world takes up three, and the material world takes up one. And so the spiritual world is three times the size of the material world. The spiritual world is our home. And in the spiritual world, everybody or every entity is the soul that's fully expanded in its original form. And of course, they can also change to different forms as they like, depending on the pastimes. And so this body is not us at all. When a person takes to Krishna consciousness and takes it seriously, and the time comes, they leave the body, which we call death, and the soul now is freed from the subtle body, as His Holiness, Bhashana Swami says, Krishna kills or destroys the subtle body, once we use the false mind, the intelligence and the false ego, destroys that. Then the real ego, which is Krishna, is well understood by the soul, and the soul also expands into its original form. We say expand because right now the soul is in a size that's atomic. Srila Prabhupada says 1/10,000th the tip of a hair. In scientific terms, it's about atomic in size. So the soul is in the heart area. Why is the soul shrunk like that? When normally in the spiritual world, it's expanded way bigger than that into its original, which is called the Siddha Swarup, the original form in the spiritual world. Well, the reason it's like that is it's part of our punishment. We were envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At that time, we were the soul in its full size. And so as part of the punishment, we are put in the material world, and now we have a body that's given by our mother, that covers the soul. And at the same time, the soul is now reduced to, or squeezed to, for lack of a better word, an atomic size. So that in the material world, the soul will function, it won't function at all. It's the physical body that functions, as we well know. And here, problems have come with this mind that we're using. People thinking that they're their bodies, people that thinking that the society they belong to is what they really connected with, people thinking that their family connection is it, their nation is it, I'm American, I'm Indian, I'm African, so on. People connect to those. Srila Prabhupada calls them upadhi, upadhi, designations. So we are not this body, and the society is actually the spiritual society, the one we belong to. This material society, if we accept material society and become members of it and get attached to it, lock, stock, and barrel, we are in the wrong thinking. Because any society that does not take you back to the spiritual world is actually, as Srila Prabhupada would put it, useless. There is an international society we have, set up by Srila Prabhupada, but it's an international society for Krishna consciousness. So that's a spiritual society. Its business is 100% Krishna. So that is the right society, because it's a society that leads us home. Its aims are to guide us home. And even before we go home, we have sadhana bhakti. Bhakti, devotional service by practice. And that is what the international society, ISKCON, propagates. That is his business. And so that is the right society. Spiritual society, that's the correct society. Material society, that's what Jat Parad is talking about. It doesn't mind us anyway. I mean, it may have some aims that are at the mode of goodness level, but it doesn't go any further than that. Mode of goodness, at best, takes you to the heavenly planets, like many religionists want to go. I'm going to the heavenly planets, because they live based on the highest for them being the material goodness. But there is spiritual goodness. The spiritual goodness is the real one. That is no tinge of any passion or ignorance. No more the passion in it. No more the ignorance. That is proper goodness. So when a person takes Krishna consciousness seriously and goes by the instructions of Guru and Sadhu, the senior devotees, those with experience, and watches how they live and live the same way, because Gurus are acharyas, they don't just preach, they live what they preach also. In other words, they walk their talk, as they said in American terms. And so if you follow that and become over time habituated to that, Krishna will begin to make the person that does that become very happy. But it starts slowly. Now, why does the person who is, come to Krishna consciousness usually not enjoy right away? Well, it's quite simple. This place, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj calls it, the uniquadrantal, Krishna's jail, it's what it is. It's jail. And so when a person who has envied Krishna and been put in this jail thinks that they should get everything, the perks, right away, they are in illusion. What we need to do is to follow the instructions given in sadhana bhakti, and over time, when the transcendental system, that is the Lord's agent, watches the particular soul, this particular entity, taking life seriously, spiritual life seriously, you're going to say, oh, so this person really wants to get out. Now, when Krishna's agent, or even the Lord in the heart, the Lord in the heart, the Paramatma, when a person becomes a devotee, the Paramatma is the one that takes care of the bank account, the spiritual bank account. When a person is not a devotee, then it's Yamaraj that does that. So we're talking about a person who is now turned his mind towards Krishna, Krishna consciousness. Still, if you are conditioned so, you've come to this world, you're not a pure devotee, therefore you are one of the inmates in this cosmic jail, we can't demand anything right away. We have to be able to, we have to impress those in authorities that we actually want to change our lives and convert to the real lifestyle, which is a spiritual lifestyle, which is also the natural lifestyle. And this takes time. You put in the effort. We've been here, some of us, millions of lifetimes. We've adopted all kinds of crazy material things, as it says here, samsara dhavana lalita dukkha. So much dirt on the heart. The heart, because that's where the soul is, in the heart area. So much dirt over the years. I mean, so much maya. From one body after another, and committing all kinds of negative things, anti-spiritual things. So all of that now, when the spiritual master cleanses this, then we have the opportunity to live the life that is worthy of going back home. So that takes time. And so when a devotee faces challenges, he or she shouldn't be surprised. First of all, we're trying to adapt the life that we should be about, the natural life. We have been used to this material life, which is negative, but many, many people have accepted it as the norm, when in fact it is exactly the opposite of what a spiritual norm is supposed to be. And spiritual is our life, our natural life. So it takes time, and therefore we should accept, as Srila Prabhupada says, the gradual process of becoming spiritual or natural again. The mind can immediately become Krishna conscious, because it just takes a second to decide, I am going to be a devotee of the Lord. That doesn't take a long time. But when that decision has been made, and the heart or the soul has accepted that, I'm going to be a devotee. I want to be a devotee. Especially the best one. As Bhaktivinoda Maharaj, my Guru Maharaj says, make the decision that in this body, at the end of this body, I want out of the material world. Now, there's the opportunity to leave this lifetime and not come back to the material world. Or there's the other unfortunate opportunity or opportunities to take a number of physical bodies one after another, because we didn't take spiritual life seriously this lifetime. Now, this is Kali Yuga. Life is getting worse and getting worse and getting worse. And it's predicted that way. We got 427,000 more years to go of Kali Yuga. We've been in there 5,000 years. The total is 432,000 years. We've done 5,000 years. And now if you look at the situation on this planet, boy, need we say much? Did we think there will be a time where people around the whole world will be wearing masks, when it's usually a few people in the medical field that wear masks? Now everybody's wearing masks for one virus, one tiny insect we can't even see with our eyes, caused so much of an issue, problem around the world. But that's the material world. That's Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel. Things are going to get worse. And so, again, I'll refer to my Guru Maharaj. When he came to Krishna consciousness as a bhakta, it was called John Fabers. So Bhakti John, there was a lecture given by Srila Prabhupada. And how I saw it was, I saw the video of a lecture. So I saw him in the video. I saw Srila Prabhupada and, Bhakti John Fabers sitting in the middle somewhere of the audience, or people listening to Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada finishes his lecture and asks for questions. And Bhakti John raises his hand, and his question was not really a question. He just wanted to be sure what he had heard. So he said, so Srila Prabhupada, you said that we are 5,000 years, we've done 5,000 years in Kali Yuga. And Srila Prabhupada didn't hear it properly. I won't go into details. He was a little farther, so devotees that were close to him repeated the question to him. So Srila Prabhupada said, yes, we've done 5,000 years. That means we have 427,000 years to go. And then he said, 427,000 years to go, things will progressively get worse. So now that you know that there's a way to get out of the material world, why don't you take that seriously? That was the advice that he gave to Bhakti John, who later became Ghanashyam Prabhu at initiation, and then by sannyas, he became Bhakti Jeta Swami. So he took it seriously. Many, many devotees have taken it seriously. Actually, some of them are from the spiritual world. And they come, take material bodies. See, Prabhupada himself is in the spiritual world. Take material bodies and then, you know, teach us, go through the things we go through. So Jatpanad is actually instructing us that this conception, where one thinks, this is my body, this is my society, this is my family, this is my nation, and so forth, that's called a function of the mind, a false ego. Actually, the function of a part of the subtle body, the false ego. There's mind, intelligence, and also the false ego. The field of activity is the body. Well, the body is called the field of activity because that's where all the senses operate. They all use the physical body. Sometimes there are parts of the physical body itself, the objects. Part of the physical body, like the nose, the eyes, the ears, those are part of the physical body, as we well know. And then, other working senses, the rest of them, the hands, legs, genitals, rectum, mouth, all of those are physical things. And then things that we do with it, hearing, seeing, in that way, Sri Prabhupada in the purple one says, we acquire knowledge, we gather knowledge. Yes, when we see, we get knowledge from the seeing, and hearing, we get knowledge from hearing, and so on. And smelling, for that matter, using the senses, the way people know the five senses, they say that. But actually, the way in which knowledge is acquired is what we call the five senses, the hearing, and seeing, and smelling, and touching, and so on. Now, so the problem is the false ego, thinking oneself as the body. As we said, some people say, my body is light colored, your body is dark colored, therefore I know better than you. Now, this is so false, it's not funny. So false, it's not funny. But people think that way, and they've been termed racism. And then the people who are black body also think that the white bodies are no good and so on. Reverse racism. The fact is, we are all in jail. So one jailbird with one color calling another person in jail, in another color. it doesn't make any sense. The higher understanding is, we're both in jail, whether your body is light or dark. What is the business? Get out of jail. And stop talking yourself, designating yourself at a certain color. Because if you do that, and you're just so attached to it, or you cause problems to someone else because their skin is different from yours, guess what Krishna is going to do? After you leave this body, the subtle body and the soul is going to be put into a similar body for the one that you put down, that you condescended. So you can taste your own sauce, see what it's like. The example has been given in one of Guru Maharaj's books. And Srila Prabhupada, there are many, many sannyasis that have also said, given examples, the same basic thing. But this one, we're talking about those who are homeless. The homeless people. Clearly, homeless people are poor people. It's because of poverty. They can't pay to have a place that they wound up homeless. That is, we're talking about sane people now. Some people who are insane, they just don't even know what their lifestyle is or is supposed to be. But sane people who are homeless. So it was explained to me that for some of those people, if not all of them, in their previous lives, they were quite wealthy. These are rich people that abused the money. And so in the next life, money got taken away from them. And the more abuse they use the money for, the greater the chance of them becoming, the poorer they became. And so if you're rich and you use things for material, especially destructive things, which is most of mode of ignorance, destroying other people, it can be done at a national level. People make decisions to go to war for bad reasons, for selfish reasons, trying to disturb other nations. People who make those decisions that cause problems, they also have the means to do that. In other words, they control large sums of money, billions of sometimes the politicians, they control that amount of money and they use it and they send the army to a war that's useless. moral ignorance. Such people, they suffer badly in the next life or the life after that. Or sometimes end the life after that, they continue to suffer. Sometimes they don't even get human bodies at all. Mode of ignorance, in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, those who are in the mode of ignorance, that is, they are harmful to themselves and harmful to other people, 99.9% of the time, next life, they're not in the human body anymore. They will go into one of the 8 million types of bodies that are not human. So if we abuse our bodies, that's mode of ignorance. Putting things that we know are bad into our bodies, knowing that it will disturb the body, that's more the ignorance, because we don't own these bodies. Krishna says everything material and spiritual is owned by him. Everything emanates from him. So even our physical bodies are owned by Krishna. Srila Prabhupada even came to the point of even saying, you know, people say, my hand. Well, it's not our hand, it's Krishna's hand that we are using. It's from Krishna's material energy. It's fashioned from a material energy. Krishna owns material energy. Therefore, even though it's, you know, by intelligence or by the way things are set up inside the body, the hand has developed into what it is. First, the baby, and then when it came out of the womb, you know, it grew and it became like this. Other parts, you know, grew up. Still, the whole physical body belongs to Krishna. And the soul is actually part and parcel of Krishna himself. So that's the situation. So Hare Krishna is one that describes the entire existence, all that there is, all that there is. As Srila Prabhupada was interviewed in the 70s when Hare Krishna became very popular in the United States. And of course the press would, you know, their business is to find out what's going on. So they talked about it, Hare Krishna's. Even cartoons, from what I understand, that Hare Krishna mantra, to the fortune of America, whether they knew it or not, that was even included on cartoons. And I know there were some, you know, people were even in comedy, you know, TV, they were bringing, oh yes, I think I've joined the Hare Krishna. They're very nice people. You know, they say it in a funny way, but they're very nice people. That's true, because our philosophy makes us nice people if we take it seriously. So Hare Krishna. So then Srila Prabhupada was interviewed. And he took his time slowly and be asking different things, why are you here and so on. Many things about men and women. But before then, the interviewer, the news person asked Srila Prabhupada, so what does Hare Krishna mean? Then Srila Prabhupada says, Hare is the energy of God, and Krishna is God. Now, when you think about it, that's everything in existence. Krishna is God, and Hare is everything else. We are all different energies of the Lord. Everything material, energy of the Lord, spiritual, that's through Lord Balaram, expands to the spiritual world. That's all his energy. Because Balaram is the plenary expansion, the first expansion of Krishna. And he expands to the entire spiritual world. That's Balaram. So everything is Krishna. And in the material world, well, that's through Lord Vishnu. First, the sequence is this. It is described by Srila Radha Maharaj. So Krishna, the original, everything contained in Krishna. He expands, first expansion to Balaram. And Balaram expands to what's called the Chakru Vyuha. Chakru is four forms. Vasudev, Aniruddha, Sankarshan, and Pradyumna. These are all forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they expand to Narayan. Narayan is the controller or the Lord of Vaikuntha planet. So there are as many Narayans as there are planets. Then Narayan expands to a second set of Chakravyuha. The second, Vasudev, Aniruddha, Sankarshan, and Pradyumna. Now, from the Sankarshan, the expansion of that, we have Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is the one whose pores, or from whose pores, the universes come out. So now we're talking about the material world. The universes come out, and then he expands to Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So Mahavishnu is also called Karunadakshaya Vishnu. Then he expands after the universes come out of his pores to Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is the one from whose navel sprouts a lotus and Lord Brahma is born. Then Garbhodakshaya Vishnu also instructs Lord Brahma as he goes into meditation how to make the varieties in the universe. That means the planets, the situation of the planets, the varieties that are in the planets, and sometimes, you know, not sometimes, but actually after he gives progeny, different entities are born from Lord Brahma's body, different parts of Lord Brahma's body, and they are also charged with continuing the procreation, progeny. So that's Lord Brahma. Now, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu expands to Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. And Kshirodakshaya Vishnu is in the Lord in the heart. It's the Lord in the heart. And it penetrates every single atom. And also our hearts, where the soul is, super soul. So that is the summary of how things come to be in the material world. But the original is always Krishna. So we need to get out of this whole conception of the body. And society, and the country, and the family being all in all. No, those are all temporary things. Because, as we said, Lord Vishnu, Mahavishnu, breathes out, and then the universes come to be. And for each universe, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, there's be a Lord Brahma. So it was Lord Brahma per universe, who makes the different planets and so on. So when the Lord breathes out, then that happens. Mahavishnu. When the Lord breathes in, then the universes also go back. At that time, they go in sequence based on who has the shortest lifetime, which Brahma has the shortest lifetime. As you can imagine, our Brahma here lives 311 trillion and 40 billion years. Oh, and that's supposed to be shorter compared to other Brahmas. The other Brahmas live longer than that. And so when the Lord Brahma of whatever the universe is dies, then that universe is going into the pores of Mahavishnu. Now, in our case, the Lord Brahma for this universe, he is connected with Krishna in Krishna consciousness. He took Krishna consciousness seriously, just like we are being allowed, we've been told to take it seriously. Lord Brahma is a jiva like us. Except that when it comes to brains, we are nowhere compared to him. He's the engineer of the varieties of the universe into the different planets and so on. But it's a jiva, soul like us, that also fell from the spiritual world. Like that. So, spiritual life so seriously, Krishna has blessed him to become a pure devotee. He is a pure devotee now. And our party, spiritual party called the Sampradaya, is Brahma Gaudiya Sampradaya. And ISKCON, it's a part of it. Gaudiya Sampradaya was formed by the Parampara predecessors. And Srila Prabhupada is part now, formed ISKCON, but it's ISKCON, it's a subset of the Gaudiya Math or Gaudiya Sampradaya. And that's connected with Brahma. And so our Brahma is a pure devotee. So when he leaves, when this earth is finished, not when this earth, but the universe is finished, Lord Brahma dies. This all, you know, goes like this. When the Brahma dies and the universe goes into the pores of Mahavishnu, therefore, the ones that are younger, Lord Brahma's, there are many that have, our Brahma has 4 heads, some are 8 heads, 16 heads, 32 heads, 64 heads. They live much longer. And then they have universes that are bigger than our universe. So when they die later, then that universe also goes into the Lord Mahavishnu. So it's in sequence like that. It's not difficult to kind of understand that if there's a Brahma that is they say, living 311 trillion years. And there's Lord Brahma that maybe lives, I would just pick a number, 900 trillion years. So that would live longer. So obviously the Brahma that's before 311 trillion years has to die first. His time is shorter. So that universe goes into Mahavishnu's pores. And the ones that, so based on the age, you know, the longer the age of that Brahma, their planets come into, when they die, the planets come later in sequence like that into the body of Lord Mahavishnu. So it's scientific like that. The religionists don't know any of this. It's that scientific. And then, of course, when it comes the other way, the Lord is now breathing out, then those come out like that, those, you know, in sequence, that way. The oldest ones and the younger ones and so on. And they all create Brahma as Garbhodaksha Vishnu, like that. And that's the, from him, Brahma, and then the varieties in the planets, like that, or in the universes. And then the other things, which is the super soul taking each body and pervading around. So it's a very interesting setup. And that's just the material world now. So Krishna is completely the owner of everything. And so when we say Hare Krishna, we've said everything. The Lord and all the energies that be. Without Hare Krishna, nothing can exist. Nothing. Existence starts from Krishna. Spiritual and then later material, as we described here. So that's the way things are. So Jatparaj is explaining all of this, but now he's in the point of the mind. Now, so we shouldn't be so hung up on the body being light-colored, the body being dark-colored, the body being short, the body being tall, the body being too wide, as we say, too fat, too thin. We're not these bodies. We're the soul. So just use the body for the best thing, which is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Now, looking at the time here, 7:47, it's almost 8 o'clock. Okay. So, here are a few things as antidotes for our minds when our mind is acting like a rascal. Not being spiritual, not doing the right thing. One, appreciate everyone, regardless of skin color, race, gender, or even religious orientation. We should appreciate everyone, regardless of those situations that they're in. The situations are not them. Next point, wish everybody well. Even when you make, when you see a person coming, you know, you're walking one way and the other person is coming the opposite way. You make eye contact with that person. Smile, greet, or wave, or at least smile. So that way that you're generating positive, you know, giving that person positive energy, they will respond to it nicely too. Because we become a society that is heartless, literally. I mean, in this area that I live, is nice townhouses here. And the weather is nice this time, so people are going around. And I was standing literally in the hall, in my living room, through the window I could see outside. And people are walking, you know, around, trying to get exercise. And I was watching people walking. And there were quite a few people out. This is yesterday in the afternoon. And I watched people just go right by the next person, you know, walking the opposite way. And they don't even look at them. And we are all neighbors now. They don't even look at these people. Obviously, they don't greet. And everybody's like in their own space, in their own world, in their own mindset, walking to get exercise. And the neighbors don't do anything to acknowledge that they've seen other neighbors. Now, of course, you know, back in my eyes, when we were in Giranagri, he literally made everybody do that. You have to smile or you have to wave, even when you are in cars and one car is going one direction and the other car is going the opposite direction. The drivers take one hand or the right hand off the steering wheel and wave. They made us do that, wave, until we all became, you know, it became a habit. So now, even when there are visitors from town, you know, those who also, the village, the motor goodness, they will also wave. But people from the cities, and not to put people down from the cities, they're not used to doing that. And so it used to be funny, you know, people come and then those of us there, we wave and they look at us like, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with you? You're waving at me? You know me? They don't wave back because we become so insensitive. Okay, so you got to wish everybody well. That way you just put, you know, positive vibes in that person. The person thinks you think well of them, then they make smile and they greet back. I certainly do that in this area. So it's got to the point where, you know, a nice one Chinese woman that always walks on, exercising. Mm-hmm. And she goes about her business. She doesn't mind anybody. But I waved and waved and waved every time I see her. And yesterday morning, she says, good morning, for the first time. I was very surprised, but I was pleasantly surprised. And I said, good morning, back to her. So we are in the same soup in this material world. We should take ourselves, at least acknowledge our presence. Mm-hmm. And be nice to each other. So we can, in fact, stay with the mode of goodness and chant Hare Krishna and get out and go to the spiritual world. Next point, see everyone as a spirit soul. And so regard them as equal to you. In the eyes of God, that is the case. Even the insects and the animals, all of that, they have the spirit or the soul of the same quality. Quality. Hmm? Satchitananda, eternal, full of knowledge, and in the spiritual world, we have a lot of fun. And actually, if you take Krishna consciousness seriously, you will begin to be quite satisfied internally here and be happy. That is from the soul. So see everyone as a spirit soul. And so we should regard them as equal to us in the eyes of God. Next point, you got to get out of anxiety. Even though this place is Kunta, the place of anxiety, His Holiness Guru Govinda Maharaj says, devotees should live like Satya Yuga, the golden age, the way people live. Mode of goodness, not passion, and not definitely anxiety, which is part of ignorance because it disturbs the mind. So, you can talk to the mind. Mana Shiksha. Raghunath Das Goswami, one of the six Goswamis, wrote a book about that. Talk to the mind. Talk to the mind and talk about Radha Krishna and Krishna's pastimes and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That's what purifies this existence. So talk yourself out of anxiety. Instruct the mind. Krishna is always in control, my dear mind. So don't get in anxiety. It's not necessary. Next point, you should empathize with someone when they are in difficulty. Apathy or indifference is bad, and sometimes it might even generate a bad karmic reaction. If you don't care about somebody, you may do something harmful to them, and now it goes against you as a person, and then you have to suffer the consequences. Next point, be a well-wisher for everything around you. Well, we said everything. Why? Because the super soul is there in everything. So everything has consciousness, except that depending on the type of body that it's in, the consciousness may be higher, like ours, demigods have even higher intelligence than we do. But everything has consciousness because the super soul is there. So be a well-wisher for everything around us. After all, it's Krishna's creation too, to understand that. But more importantly, because the super soul is there. Next point, pray for those, even those who hate you, that they may recover from their bad thoughts and or actions. Because when they hate, they also suffer. They may project negative vibes at us, and thoughts have formed. It can actually make you weak when more people are thinking badly about you. Speaking about the presidency the way it is now, negative thoughts are all over the place, from one person to another. It's a shame, but the material world, what do you expect? People are in the mode of ignorance. That's what's here. Spiritual world, they are not in the mode of ignorance. It's here that people are in the mode of ignorance. So pray for those who hate you. That's one of the best things to do. And pray that they may recover from their bad thoughts and actions. Actually, His Holiness Chandrasekhar Swami, who's also a sannyasi in ISKCON, said the same thing in a lecture he gave at Reading, Pennsylvania. I was in the audience that time. The devotees listening to him. And people asked questions about what they should do. And one of the answers says, you should pray. Pray for your relatives. Your relatives that are not Krishna conscious. You can't change their minds to be Krishna conscious. Pray to Krishna. What can Krishna not do? So ask for help that way. You do the best that you can. You can give them Krishna consciousness. If they won't hear about Krishna, you can at least give them a snack that's prasadam, what they'd like to eat. Or if they come to your house, then serve them fully, prasad. That way, as Lokanath Maharaj would say, when you eat prasadam, then the prasadam does its work. The work means begins to purify. Prasadam is Krishna, and Krishna purifies. So at a situation where you can't do any more for this person, at least let them have that. So, next point. Well, that's the way things are these days. Technology is kind of influencing our lives quite a bit. So many tech gadgets. So, be sober when it comes to technological gadgets, because as much as they help, they are not perfect and will never be perfect. They are made by persons who have imperfect senses, and imperfect senses cannot make anything perfect. It's not possible. So, sometimes I used to just think some people get frustrated when something is not working. I said, well, technology is almost perfect. They go, well, it's the almost part that I don't like. Well, it's not going to be 100% perfect. So use what you can get or do, you know, with it, what you can get from it. And hopefully, not Maya stuff, but Krishna things. We can use technological gadgets for Krishna things. You know, like right now I have a computer and a cell phone. That's what I'm using. They're made by people who wanted to make money off of that, doing that. But we are using it for Krishna. But it's not perfect. Everything in the spiritual world is perfect. So we get out of here, then we'll have everything 100% dependable. But these things are not going to be 100% dependable. And worst part is, the more complicated we make it, or people make it, we don't do that. The more complicated we make it, the more dire the consequences are when something goes wrong. And we have to understand that and live with it. Because we're only here for a short while and we'll go back to Godhead later. As long as we chant and take the regulated principles seriously and not be offensive. The next point is said by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. Beat the mind with a shoe in the morning and with a broom at night. Why beat the mind? Well, it's a figurative way of doing it. Make sure that the mind does not take you into Maya. To punish, in a sense, imagine punishing the mind, hitting it, giving it pain so it would behave itself. The mind can put us into Maya, cause us to stay in bondage, as Jatvarat said earlier, or mind can stay in Krishna consciousness and make us, what? Get liberated. Get out. Last point, chant with your heart. Chant heartily with the assurance that it's an assurance to the soul when you do that, that one day soon, and it comes sooner than we think, we will go home. So we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. So here's the English translation of this text, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 11, Text 10. Sound, touch, form, taste, and smell are the objects of the five knowledge-acquiring senses. Speech, touch, movement, evacuation, and sexual intercourse are the objects of the working senses. Besides this, there is another conception by which one thinks, this is my body, this is my society, this is my family, this is my nation, and so forth. This 11th function of the mind is called the false ego, and according to some philosophers, it is the 12th function, and its field of activity is the body. Hare Krishna. So, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, Nina, maybe just tell people to unmute phones, star 6, and if they want to make comment or ask questions, we can do it at this time. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thanks for your wonderful
talk. Krishna's mercy.
If we have any questions, we can ask Prabhuji now. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Very nice class.
Krishna's mercy, God's mercy.
So, Prabhu, after annihilation, when the souls remain suspended in Mahavishnu, so at that time, what happens to the subtle body, the material mind and ego? So does it?
They all come from Mahavishnu. Very important question you've asked. Now, it's two categories as far as the soul is concerned. The soul may continue to take bodies life after life until Lord Brahma of that particular universe dies, and at that point, that soul is going to go along with all the material things into the body of Mahavishnu. But if that soul has taken Krishna consciousness seriously, then everything else pertaining to the material, subtle and gross, that can go into the body of Mahavishnu. But the soul is going back to Godhead. The soul is going back to Godhead. As a matter of fact, Bhashyana Swami described it this way. A soul that is going back to Godhead. The devotee. The physical body, we know what happens to it. That is, it ceases to work. We cremate. In our case, some people bury the body, but we cremate the body. And then, Vaishnava Swami put it this way, and it can get quite technical here, because people ask Sri Prabhupada a lot of questions about that. He says Krishna kills the subtle body. This subtle body is the mind, intelligence, and ego that has been thinking anti-Krishna consciousness. Now, you really can't touch it now because it's subtle. But it's been thinking against Krishna consciousness. A mind that's accepting wrong things and had to be changed to accepting the right things. And the intelligence and then the false ego has been described. Krishna is the one that has a real ego. So those things cannot follow us back to the spiritual world because there will be a disturbance in the spiritual world. A mind that is not doing things based on the residents or based on what the residents in the spiritual world do. So that can't go. Well, it has to go somewhere. So it winds up with Mahavishnu. When Lord breathes out, Mahavishnu breathes out, then they come out again and they continue where they left off with the karmic situation. And what happens? You know, so devotees, those souls don't go to the body of Mahavishnu. When a devotee dies, you know, whether Mahavishnu is slowly breathing in or is that, well, for us it will be very gradual the way we look at things. The soul is taken to the spiritual world by the spiritual master. That soul that is done well, good enough for the spiritual master to have a case to plead for Krishna to allow him back to the spiritual world. That soul goes with the spiritual master to meet Krishna, and they look at what they mean, spiritual master and Krishna, look at what they've done in this life. And at that point, Krishna says, okay, all right, you've done quite well, come back to the spiritual world, which means the soul at that point expands. This 110,000, the tip of the hair, now expands to its fullness. But if you're not going back, and even if you have a spiritual master, you have another life, well, you might go to a heavenly planet and take a heavenly type body, which is one of the human bodies here. Well, it's categorized as one of the 400,000 type bodies. And now you're here in the material world still. But when Mahavishnu breathes in, everything that's not going to the spiritual world goes into his body. Basically, that's what it is. Hare Krishna.
Oh, yes, Prabhu.
No, they are in a dormant. They are in a dormant state. Remember, what comes out of Mahavishnu is called the unmanifested. Unmanifested, yeah. So they're not in activity. They're there. It's like, a thing that's not being used. It's just basically sitting in the body of Mahavishnu. When they come out, and then the varieties are done by Lord Brahma, and so then We start again with all of that negative things in the material world. You know? Unless you meet a devotee and start doing positive things to get back. Hare Krishna. Very good question.
From a higher path, also, like Brahma and Indra, they can go back to Godhead, right?
Not all of them. Not all of them. If Brahma is a living entity, if Brahma has been about mortal passion and ignorance, even in the planet they are in. Now, just because they are Lord Brahma does not mean that they will be doing good now. No. Lord Mahavishnu is Lord Vishnu is the presiding deity for goodness. Brahma is the presiding deity for passion. That doesn't take you back to the world. To the spiritual world. So, when Brahma purifies, it gets purified. Our Brahma had to be. He even did some things that involve incest. Someone, the sages, his sons had to tell him, Lord, this Lord Brahma for this universe, that you're wrong. And he had to give up his subtle body and take another one. And then they gave him a wife, which is Mother Saraswati. At first, he didn't even have a wife. Because this, Chandramaya Swami describes, Lord Brahma's body was all intelligence. It's hard to even imagine that. But he's been purified, therefore he's going back to Godhead. That's why the compilation by him is so wonderful. Compilation is Samhita. So you have Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Sachid Ananda Vigraha, Anadi Adi Govinda, Sava Karana Karanam. Lord Brahma is saying Ishvara Parama Krishna, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the next line, his body is described as Sachid Ananda, full of knowledge, eternal, and blissful, and Anadi Adi Govinda. He has no beginning, but he is the beginning of everything. Sarva Karana Karanam. He's the cause of all causes. This Lord Brahma is speaking like that. So he is pure. But many Lord Brahmas that are not pure, they go right back into the body of Lord Vishnu, along with the universes that they were controlling. Hare Krishna.
So,
oh, Indra.
Very
difficult,
right, to go back to Earth. We are more.
Yes. Yeah, Indra. It depends on Indra. You know, Indra is a name, but in a sense, it's also a title. This is another situation to get into. But even the Lord Indra, we say title because different souls can occupy that post. In fact, at the Battle of Kurukshetra, Bhishma tried to pump sense into Duryodhana's head. And one of the points he made, he said, you're trying to find the Pandavas. At some point in your lives, every single Pandava you see here has occupied the post of Lord Indra. That's how good they are. The king of heaven with the best astra, the best weapons. And you're going to try to fight him. Duryodhana still obviously, when a demon is so covered up, he still didn't get it. And all he wanted to win was, he's got 11 Akshohinis to 7 Akshohinis. My army is bigger, and therefore, all things considered, with Lord, with Bhishma Dev himself, who cannot be killed, and Dronacharya, who is the teacher of all of them, he was looking at materially. So he added up, sure. I got a bigger army, and all these people who are so good, we're going to win. But yeah, he was covered up. So, anyway, I know I digressed a little bit. I apologize for that. But sometimes it becomes said to use that. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Devotees, not that they don't, they shouldn't. If you understand what Bhakti Yoga is about, if you take it seriously, then you wouldn't go to those planets. But if you just do material goodness and don't take the transcendental aspect of it seriously and don't stay away from offenses, then you will be forced to go to a planet different from the spiritual world. You don't have say in that. Once a person leaves the body, you don't have say anymore. See, Papa gave an example. Say a person has done some things, motor ignorance, and then the transcendental system decides, well, you're going to be a dog, be in a dog body. You say, no, I don't want a dog body. It doesn't matter. You'll be forced to take a dog body. So that's how you put it. So then the bodies are forced to go to heavenly planets, not to the spiritual world, because they didn't take it seriously. Hare Krishna. You're welcome. Krishna's mercy. But we have the opportunity, though. So much has been given to us. So much of a break has been given to us. Yeah, because we supposed to stay 64 rounds, now we're doing 16 rounds. So, you know, we have to build up. If you're not doing 16 rounds, that's okay. The fact that you're chanting at all, that's good. Many people in the world are not chanting. So if you're not initiated, you do one round or two rounds. Well, our advice that we've been given is do it for the month. By the end of October, if you're doing two rounds, fine. November, start three rounds. And you do the whole of November, it's known that when you do something for 3 weeks, it becomes a habit. So by the third week, the end of the third week of November, you're used to chanting three rounds. And now you, you know, make sure that your day is for everything you do those three rounds. December, you go to four rounds. Just like 5-7 minutes extra round. January, five rounds. February, six rounds. Next thing you know, before the end of the year 2021, you're doing 16 rounds. And make the time for it. And you can make the time because Krishna himself is time. He says it, you know, in Bhagavad Gita. So it will, it's possible to work out those and work that into your day. Or even better yet, take it as a priority. Do it first thing in the morning. Then Krishna will really reward you because he says, the extent to which you surrender, I reward accordingly. So you put him first, he puts you first. So you chant Hare Krishna. There are no hard and fast rules, true enough. But if you show Krishna that you're prioritizing putting him first, well, then he'll also reward accordingly. Hare Krishna.
So very nice thing is that many people in the beginning, they get scared of 16 rounds.
Yeah.
We can't write anything of feet. We should not just not chant because 16 rounds is too.
Yeah, that's true.
Probably very nice part.
Little by little, you get there. Little by little. Because if you open your heart to Krishna, then it makes everything possible. So even 16 rounds, which is actually maximum of 2 hours out of the 24 hours we have every day, I'm kind of rubbing it in, you know, only 8.5% of our time, if we, and even less than that, because some people chant less than 2 hours, sometimes hour and a half, and if you try to go by Srila Prabhupada's pace of chanting, you would even chant less time, but you have to chant distinctly though, so you can, it doesn't become namabhas, you know, indistinct. But it's not
habit. Start chanting in the morning, it becomes a habit.
Yes. Yeah. Everything you do becomes a habit after a while. Good habits, bad habits. So you just take the good, especially chanting. That's a transcendental habit. That means higher than good. So that is what takes us home. So yeah, we start like that. But if you're not able to chant in the morning for some reason, make your regular day such that you chant in the morning. But some people, depending on the situation they're in now, they may chant the rest sometime during the day. Set time aside, that particular time to chant, and chant at that time for that day regularly so that your mind won't give you excuses when that time comes and say, oh, well, now we're in the middle of this, therefore that. No, you just put the mind in its place. Get behind. Don't try to mess my life, because my life is ultimately the spiritual one. Material is not going to matter. So that way you chant. But yeah, you know, Brahmahut hour or early in the morning chanting is the best. That's the best time of the day. If you can do it. If you can't, you know, try to get there to do it. Just you go to sleep early, then you can wake up early. In the number of hours that you get to rest. But some people are in situations in school and so on, and it's difficult. Still, chant though. You're not initiated, you can chant four rounds, so do four rounds. Next month, do five rounds. And build it like that until you can get to 16. And you will, in fact, be able to. Krishna does everything. Krishna does everything. So you will have time to chant and still do what you have to do materially. And do well, too. And do well, because you're taking the Krishna, and Krishna will reward you like that. Hare Krishna. So, take Krishna's mercy. Any other questions? Jai. Jai.
Jai.
Hari 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 Bo. So everybody have a nice.
This session is no longer being recorded.
Have a nice, wonderful Krishna conscious weekend.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Yes, Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna to everyone. Jai. Hare Krishna.